The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. One thing that I'll never get used to is when females started joining the internet. I remember this place before they came, and now we have all catfights going on X. RFH, Sarah, no offense, but these skin-tight pants show the entire outline of your legs and no doubt the shape of your butt. Men see that and are no doubt aroused. Why is this not considered immodest by your own standards? Why are you not wearing a burqa if a woman's body is inherently pornography? Why draw the line arbitrarily at bikini? She was saying the third world jungle people who go topless also practice things like polygamy, pedophilia, child sacrifice. It doesn't make it okay. We have these infinite wars about what is the standard of decency, says who. Very unproductive engagement on arbitrary criteria. But of course, things that are important to females, I'm sure. I'm sure females think a lot about all this. Ultimately, it's going to be an arbitrary limit where we define decency, no doubt, because we've seen this very limit being pushed across the decades, even in the same civilization, Western civilization. Sean Mister says, good papa, good, I guess you mean good morning, good night, good evening. Top three male canon events. Seeing your dad start to slow down. 2, trying to change a party girl. And 3, realizing you built a woman for the next man. That is very good. That is, oh man, the number of women I fixed. Like, I should get grants from the government. The number of women I took from petty criminal lifestyle on drugs, meth addicted, and I transformed them into mothers, and it lasted maybe a year or two, but at least during that year or two, society had a fixed woman. I should get social worker credits or something. Oh man, the way I picked these women from the streets and just dealt with the fucking nightmare that it is to fight addiction in a woman, to try to make them into mothers. Just the 1 year to 5 year period that I fix them, and sometimes they become better permanently from this, but then they drop you. Of course, once they got what they could get from you, they drop you. But I should get permanent government payments for all the police work that I've saved. All the police work that I've saved. It's unbelievable. Unconventional says, it's like women who have been fixed. I don't know what you mean. A friend of Gandalf sends a super chat. Let's have a look.
One third. Interesting how the far right, you, Nick, Sam Hyde, characterized by the neocons as demonocrats, were visibly emotional at Charlie Kirk's death and spoke kindly of him as a person.
Yes, absolutely true. You know, we are real. We are for real. And yes.
Two thirds. It's precisely because they have humanity that the far right converges on far right stances. Those who converge on Zionist stances, perhaps they converge on them precisely because their humanity is for sale, or was never there to begin with.
Absolutely. Very wise words, friend of Gandalf. I believe that there is something about artists like me, and there is something about my rudeness, which is deeply because I have a sensitive heart. And yeah, you know, the real people that you see, the Nick Fuentes, the streamers that are giving you their all. And I am one of them. I'm a streamer who gives my all to the truth and the whole of my life to streaming. And there is a misconception by the, and it's all normie morality. Ultimately, it has nothing to do with conservatism, by the way, friend of Gandalf. It's all about normie morality and how it's a big facade. Because all of these fucking normies, 95% of the people you see on the street, they have no principles. They're really the lowest scum of the earth. You couldn't imagine being inside of them for a moment. If you're kind of good-hearted like me, if you have principles, this is where the Joker is absolutely right. These people, they're gonna eat you alive. These fucking people who are smiling at you and saying, "Oh, you shouldn't say that, JF." Like I told Scott Adams, you know, prepare for death, Scott. Prepare for death. Your medication is not going to work. Your cancer is eating you. And I say this with a big heart because I care so much that I think people should be less dramatic about death and people should be more prepared and accepting of death. Because this whole I'm going to fight to the end with a $100,000 medicine, $100,000 a pill medicine that has 1% chance of doing anything. I'm like, this is despair. You should go into death with pride. You should go into death with, I'm ready because I fucked the world. I'm ready because my balls are in flame. I'm tired. Relieve me of this suffering, God. Take me. And I want to encourage this vision of death. A more funny vision, a more like, thank God we have death, because holy shit, I wouldn't want to be a computer that never resets. I wouldn't want to be a computer that stays on forever. And life has put into existence this beautiful mechanism by which all of your pains and suffering and imperfection can be recycled into compost. And yeah, to connect to what you were saying, friend of Gandalf, there's a lot of people who were yelling at me on Twitter for saying these things, but it's like, I really say them out of a big heart. I think we could save human suffering if we taught proper death handling. And don't go into death trying to extend every fucking minute. Just accept that there will be a point at which you're shut down. And anything before that won't be particularly interesting. You'll be pissing on yourself. And so kind of appreciate if it can come relatively fast. Have an appreciation for this. And the normies are incapable of this. The normies, they are darker inside. They're darker inside, definitely. They will betray you. They will look at you in their face and they will tell you, oh yeah, I'm sorry I betrayed you, but I'm still going to keep doing it. Like this is literally what my ex told me after a massive betrayal. Like, oh yeah, I understand it must feel bad to be betrayed, but you know, I gotta do what I gotta do. This is the normie mentality.
You say it's not a conversative thing, but can't we observe the correlation between one's caringness and their convergence on far-right politics? To put oneself at risk of death in the service of professing true belief is a trait of the good.
Yes. Given that far-right ideas the various ideas we've been discussing across the years, given that they have so much blockade to get to them, you can be sure that once you attain them, once you're there and saying, I accept this truth against all, against cancel culture, against everyone will hate me, against my own closest family member will be rejecting me for it. Once you have achieved that, once you have attained that truth, you've passed through such a filter that only the pure-hearted can really make it. Like, you have to be stubbornly good-hearted to believe so much in the truth that you're willing to dismiss and kind of act as if the rest of the world and all these social people, they don't matter. Because they do matter. They do matter to everyone normal. But the level of stubbornness that you had to have to ignore each of the no along the route, each of the JF, don't do that. JF, don't burn bridges. JF, don't say this. JF, like, it's like a difficulty 99999, and you go through it. Now, once you have gone through this, you can be sure that it's because you had a good heart. You had to have this if you're going to be contrarian to the whole of the world literally shitting on you. Rodilacid says, nah, if I was dying because of some ethnic secretary, I don't know what that means, you can bet that she would hear, okay, you mean a nurse maybe? She would hear every racial epithet and I would sue the shit out of that clinic into the ground. Oh yeah, well, good luck. Good luck suing clinics, bro. They're part of the system and the judges are quite sympathetic to them. Yeah, we can talk about Christianity and this whole Kevin Roberts today. Kevin Roberts, who came in such a loose... But before we get to the full subject, I want to address a super chat that came from Friday. But this Kevin Roberts, he's leading the Heritage Foundation, which is trying to guide Christians in America. And I wouldn't say that he's anti-Zionist, not at all. He's just merely made a point for, well, we should hear the other side. We should let free debate happen. And the Heritage Foundation seems to be this institution that kind of tries to do a Charlie Kirk, but not a Charlie Kirk of colleges, but a Charlie Kirk of Christianity in the U.S., basically trying to politically guide Christians of the U.S. toward a form of center-right conservatism, probably very Zionist. I haven't digged into the details, but, you know, the way he basically denounces Nick Fuentes, then says, well, you know, we're still for open debate, so I defend Tucker Carlson for inviting Nick Fuentes, though I found that his statements are appalling. It was so on the fence, but it's not enough. The Zionists are not happy with it, and they're basically putting him in the bin of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. And he's getting kind of canceled by very greedy people, really, that cannot accept that, hey, you're not going to win at cancel culture, especially not on the right. The whole idea was that we were fighting cancel culture. You're not going to reenact it. And the way you're reenacting it is so in line with what the left would want. You know, who is it that you're canceling? Well, you're canceling the exact people that the left hates. And someone was saying something very revealing. He was saying, I wonder what the everyone is woke right crowd hopes to accomplish here. Alienate 98% of conservatives, thereby making them adopt Fuentes and Tucker's view whole cloth. This is important because you have to understand in which era we are and what they're trying to do. I spoke of this recently. We are basically under extortion. What the Zionist right is telling America is, if you don't kiss the wall, if you don't kneel to Zionist interest, if you don't do everything we want, we will crush the right. So they're basically saying, you're going to get your conservative governments. You can get your Trump, and you can get your, we're going to fight LGBT activism and this and that, and we're going to fight, you know, female, woman, men in women's sport. We're going to give you all of this. Those will be the crumbles we're ready to throw at you. But you better kiss the wall, and you better be on the side of Israel, because if not, we will crush the right. So those people are not true right-wingers. They are merely in the right wing to try to defend Israeli interests within a right-wing perspective, just in case the left doesn't win to their taste, or the left isn't sufficiently supportive of the horrors committed by Israel in the Middle East. This is the situation. They're basically telling you, we will wreck your country. We will wreck even the possibility of having a right wing if you don't leave us control of the right wing. And, you know, my position on this is, okay, you want to blow up the right wing? Let's do it. Because if the right wing is going to be just slavery for Israeli interest, I don't find it particularly interesting, honestly. If we can't engage, if the whole free speech and market of ideas stuff is just bullshit, really, and as soon as we bring up our concerns, we get canceled, they're rejected, you don't engage with it, then we might as well crash the whole thing. Yeah, bring in Kamala Harris, you know. This has been my position for a couple of years now. Just accelerate and let it happen. Light Guru says, hey, Jeff, did you achieve monetization on YouTube yet? No, so I'm still waiting. We'll see. I might go back to Rumble if they don't give an answer, because right now I'm streaming on YouTube just because I want to see if the application passes in. But if it takes too much time, if they don't show a response, then I might as well build on... then I might as well build a viable platform where I can get paid, you know? Let's address this important super chat.
I'm nearly 50 but maxed out stats with wealth, height, and fitness. Recently divorced and looking to start a second family, ideally 2 to 4 kids. Advice?
Very good, very good. And yeah, I do have some advice. You are a very successful man, and thank you so much for the great super chat. You're a very successful guy, I know this. Now, you're 50, so you are at the limit of viability for reproductive couples. Although, given your stats and given your features, you know, good height, good looks, good wealth, you are still not out of the game. Now, in a previous super chat, you had mentioned that you had a kind of 20-something Instagram supermodel thought as a girlfriend. Now, I'm just summarizing. I don't know exactly what was the wording you used. But yeah, so there's a price to pay with these thoughts. They have infinite time ahead of them, and so they can take you in as a sugar daddy, and they will make you lose a lot of time. And at your age, at 50, if you're with a 22-year-old, no matter how sexy she is, but she's telling you, I'm going to wait a couple of years before we get children, then it doesn't work, because you're going to be 55 by the time you might get a chance to insemination. And if she's waiting that long, it's probably that she doesn't even want it. So if she's making you wait, she's not ready. So that's been my rule. And so at 50, and if you're pressed against time in any way, and you are at 50, you have to act within the next 5 years. You have to have accomplished the whole birthing process. That means you have to engage with the market where there are women who will be similarly pressed up against time as you are. And unfortunately, that's not the sexy 20-year-old Insta thought. Unfortunately, it would be fun, but it's not. So you have to aim for women who are as desperate as you to act in baby making within the next 6 months. And so personally, I demand immediate insemination. Now, you can go as extreme as me if you want, but that's how extreme I go. It's like the first time we see each other, we will have intense sex and I will inseminate you without a condom. I would do this. I would do this, and you'll see that the females who are responsive to this kind of thing will be 30 to 36, and this is what you should aim for. Because they are at a point in their life where they have the same time pressure that you have as a 50-year-old man. Now, you're going to have to accept that when you deal within these waters, there's a lot of chance that the woman is just a sperm hunter. But accept it. You're going to have a baby out there. Maybe she's going to... The chances that you will build a family with a stable relationship with the woman is lower. I'm not saying it's not happening, but it's lower. But you need to accept this. It's the game you're going to have to play. So the thing is, building a marriage where she will stay with you forever, that is outside of your time window, because that is taking maybe 5 years of just talking with the woman and having sex with condoms. It's not happening, because in 10 years, you're 60 years old. And in 10 years, she's not going to want to stay with a 60-year-old. So you have to act quick. And you know, consider that our evolutionary story goes like this. Woman meets man. That very night, the penis is in the vagina. And there's no condom and there's no birth pill. So you have to go that way. And feel free to be very direct about this to woman, and you will immediately filter out the woman who would not have been interested anyway. And you will, at the end of the process, capture only the woman who are interested in going quick. You have to go quick. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't think of it as I'm going to have a second family with 2 to 4 children. It's a good ideal to aim your asymptote. But 2 to 4 children is producible over 1 year pregnancy, 6 months relaxation, 1 year pregnancy, it's producible over, it's going to take you 8 years to do this, even if you had the woman. Now, 8 years to do this, in 8 years from now, you're 58 and you're probably not as desirable and you start looking old and you start being cancerous and they will drop you under the bus. So it's very hard to do this move, but I've had to do it very young, so I understand it. But you have to give up the idea that you're going to build the perfect family. I'm not saying don't keep it as an ideal. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe you get lucky and there's this 32-year-old, all she was waiting for was the perfect man, and she wants to build a common life with you. But most likely it's not happening, and you have to play the game such that, how do I win this game even if it's not happening? And how do you win this game even if it's not happening? Direct, immediate insemination. The philosophy of immediate insemination, the idea that your ancestors, they didn't wait. They saw someone they were attracted to, and it was, boom, come inside of her. You have to get into this. And if this means that your 2 to 4 children will be spread across a various harem of 6 Insta thoughts, so be it. Here's the thing that I've decided in my life. After my first woman leaving me after we had a child, I've decided these bitches, these fucking bitches, want to sterilize me. I want a minimum of 6 to 10 babies in my life. And I'm not going to let the entirety of the female population of planet Earth stop me. And I don't care if I need to spray sperm with a whistling or whatever, shoot it in the air. I refuse to die without having 6 to 10 babies, which is my measure of success by the standard of my grandfathers, my two grandfathers on both sides. And that means if this needs to happen across 6 to 10 females, it's going to be hit. I'm going to do it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not interested in having a long-term relationship with a female, but that means I will let the door open to a long-term relationship. But when she does betray me, which is what they'll do, because once the first leaves you, then you're a divorcee. And to all the others that are attracted at a divorcee, why are they attracted to you? It's because they know you're easily fuckable. They know that you have no recourse and that you'll never win in a family court case. So they try to stack, and then you start attracting sperm hunters. You're going to be attracting sperm hunters, but so be it. Make the baby, let her carry it, and if she betrays you and she goes away, just make two babies with some other woman after, and dilute yourself, dilute your errors. Dilute your errors with more babies, more sperm. That's your life up to 60, okay? Now you're 50. Your next 10 years is just stack baby mamas. And that doesn't mean to not be a family guy. Offer them the family opportunity, but be very clear about don't let the offering and the dream of the ideal impede on your quest. Your quest is to stack baby mamas, because the chances that you'll have a stable and classical and traditional family at 50 like this is extremely low. You're most likely going to have to, you know, when you go fishing in the pond, you catch the fish that are kind of handicapped. There's some imperfection about them. They're kind of stupid. They bite the bait of your hook. You're going to have to learn to fish for the weak. And literally, just become the super Chad, okay? Stop being in a mode of, I'm looking for a perfect woman who will lead my family, who will let me lead my family with two, four children while I'm becoming 60 and start pissing myself. Start going dirty. Just take your Bugatti, drive into town, and pick these women who are absolutely desperate. They're living in fucking cockroach beds in the city, okay? They don't have money. They have to work 12 hours a day to just survive and just come back to their shitty apartment so they can get their next dose of meth. Now you pick that woman up. You say, woman, I'm going to make you a mother, whether you like it or not. She's gonna try to fight you and try to go back to her street lives, but pick her up, just show her your massive villa or whatever it is you live in. I know you're successful. Just engage where there is... You know, I've been driving around because I've been on the hunt. And you know what I find is just go where there's apartments. Just drive. If you see well-formed families with big garages, you're not going to find your baby mama there, because she's going to have a father and he's going to be like, oh, I don't know if my 20-year-old Insta-tot should be with a 50-year-old. So forget about this. Go where there's poverty. Go where there's despair. And go to these places where women are fucking slaves of the city system and pick them out of it and show them better. they're gonna know the value of what you are. The woman in her big garage home with her boomer parents, she's not gonna know the value of what you offer because it's what she's always known. But get the woman out of the cockroach bed and just take her joint of marijuana and her meth pipe and just break it. Pow! You take her meth pipe, bam! And you look at her and you say, I see better than that in you. Come with me. I mean, that's my method. You do whatever you like. You know, you can go in the continuum between your vision and what I'm doing. What I'm doing is fucking insane, okay? I don't want to see you hurt emotionally because what I'm doing is absolute insanity. Just picking up the lowest of the lows and fucking broken woman and woman on neuropsychiatric heavy medication, and it's like transforming them into mothers. I'm playing at the edge of the abyss. You don't have to play that deep, but I'm just telling you these things so that you have a range and act somewhere along that range. But now you know what the market values to play on are. Women who are pressed against time. Women who are slave working. And therefore what you offer to them is so much better than even their current life. So why wouldn't they do that choice? And they're 32 or they're 34 and they need to have a baby. Inseminate. And if they're too broken and they're going to leave you, so be it. You still have your babies out there and you switch to the next. Sean Mister says, is it true that drug women who have an oral fixation can transmute their addiction into dick sucking? I can confirm. Generally, the more broken a woman in terms of drug addiction, the better dick sucker she is. Lord of Sigma says, I'm not saying don't go to Ukraine to get a woman, but trying to get one out of the restrictions on travel might end up with the Gonzo Prize. Well, you know, Gonzalo Lira was in Ukraine, but he wasn't just picking women in Ukraine. He had a very long-term family relationship with a woman in Ukraine. And to him, it was his family. But he was also a traveler and spending time with the other woman. I'm not a guy who maintains parallel stories. I focus on inseminating the current woman. That is my focus. That is what you need to work on. Let's have a look at this. This guy is support of Tucker Carlson was absolutely tame. He was even denouncing Nick Fuentes in the process of supporting Tucker Carlson. But that's never enough, which is why you don't denunciate. That's why you don't dissociate. When you go that route, when you go the route of, hey, we should discuss about these things because they're current important subjects for society. You go the whole route. You don't denunciate and say, oh, but I find what he says appalling. No, you say, I kind of like it.
In the coming days. But today I want to be clear about one thing. Christians can critique the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. And of course, anti-Semitism should be condemned. My loyalty as a Christian and as an American is to Christ first and to America always. When it serves the interests of the United States to cooperate with Israel and other allies, we should do so, with partnerships on security, intelligence, and technology. But when it doesn't, conservatives should feel no obligation to reflexively support any foreign government, no matter how loud the pressure becomes from the globalist class or from their mouthpieces in Washington. The Heritage Foundation didn't become the intellectual backbone of the conservative movement by canceling our own people or policing the consciences of Christians. And we won't start doing that now. We don't take direction from comments on X, though we are grateful for the robust free speech debate. We also don't take direction from members or donors, though we are inherently grateful for their support. And we're adding more every day. This is the robust debate we invite with our colleagues, our movement friends.
So, of course, the fact that he mentioned criticism of Israel is probably what led to so much hatred from the Zionist crowd, but it's so tame. It's unbelievable that these guys are getting canceled now. It's like, bro, it's unsustainable, the greed with which the pro-Israel crowd wants to control everything. It's like, hey, don't forget that you're just a minority population. And overall, in the grand scheme of things, you're really nothing. Dave Smith says, oh no, I've been denied a platform of dozens and dozens of 90-year-olds. Nice excuse, coward. So now you have Mark Levin saying, Dave Smith, sick as they come. We have a strict standard. No platforming or debating, grifting, insane imbeciles. And that was because Dave Smith has spoken to Tucker Carlson. Believe it or not, this is what warrants these invectives by this guy. I mean, even Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is coming out, blasting Kevin Robert.
And now is a time for choosing. Now is a time for courage. If you sit there and nod adoringly while someone tells you that Winston Churchill was the villain of World War II.
Yeah.
If you sit there and nod while someone says there's a very good argument America should have intervened on behalf of Nazi Germany in World War II. If you sit there with someone who says Adolf Hitler was very, very cool, and that their mission is to combat and defeat global Jewry, and you say nothing, then you are a coward, and you are complicit in that.
Yeah, okay, but Nick didn't use the word global. He used the word organized. So small detail here, but it's a difference. And yeah, ultimately it boils down to why is there a special class with special rights in American competition in political speech? And that is the problem we've been faced with. Why are there special censorship rules? Why are there historical subjects you can't discuss? And it's always centered around a group that has interest in the Middle East. Why? And this question is now at the forefront of the public mind. And that is so heartwarming to me. It's a big victory of people like me who have been pushing this for so much longer than the last few weeks. Nicholas Fuentes was saying, countdown to Kevin Roberts getting sacked at Heritage. I think it's a very real possibility. Because it all depends what are the structures of control. I don't know the structure of this institution, but very often these guys are really let to rise, but they're really puppets. Because who controls them, who funds their institution, and who controls the board of directors of their institution is going to determine if they are let to be. That's why Charlie Kirk was kind of capable of pursuing an independent path. But eventually, just before his death, it had come to a breaking point where a lot of the Jewish founders were not interested in continuing their donations to him. So he would have faced basically a form of cancellation, which is, oh, we're losing control of this guy. We're not sending money to him anymore. But that shows just the level that they're not willing to accept. They're not even willing to accept the idea that some American Christians might be critical of the current Israeli government. To me, that's unbelievable, because because the question has to be so much deeper than this. If you were to criticize the Netanyahu government a little bit the way Tucker does when he speaks of his own views on this, that would do nothing, because the Netanyahu government is going to change for something else. And we're going to be left with all of the problems that are structural in the American political conversation. So to me, those people who say, well, I just don't agree with the actions of this particular Israeli government. I'm like, you are so far from solving anything. Regime change in Israel will not change anything, because there's going to be political control continuously applied to American politics at the benefit of this foreign nation. That is the problem, and it's a problem as long as it lasts. And change Netanyahu for Bitanyahu or whatever, for some other guy, it's not changing anything. Matt Walsh was saying, here we go again with the Matt Walsh is just starting to say, and it's something I've said a billion times already. I've been on the Buchanan train for like 15 years. I was sitting on the deck of the cruise ship on my honeymoon in 2011 reading Suicide of a Superpower. And Nick Fuentes is answering, really? Because before today, this is literally the only other tweet that you ever mentioned Pat Buchanan in. And Matt Walsh was saying in 2016, Trump stole this speech from Pat Buchanan's drug-addled cousins. So yeah, there is definitely a stolen valor problem in right-wing ideas and the current shaking of the conservative movement. There are people who are trying to present themselves as having been there and being in the fight forever, when they haven't. We were the only ones on the internet, you know, the restricted gang that you could span from, let's say, Sargon of Akkad to Richard Spencer. We were the only one, and we were the only one discussing Pat Buchanan. I remember this being brought, I think, on the Sargon Spencer debate, and we were discussing these things extensively in interviews. But these guys, they were reading Pat Buchanan, but they were not active in taking public position about it. So I don't care that you were reading Pat Buchanan in 2011, especially not if you were critical of him privately and publicly. I care about, have you endorsed these ideas, and since when did you? And since when did you start saying it out loud? And to Matt Walsh, it's a relatively recent thing. I think he's been playing low profile, and maybe his ideas weren't fully formed, but definitely he's not been a carrier of paleoconservatism. I'm not even saying I'm a paleoconservative, but If you want the valor, if you want the medal for having been a paleoconservative, I would have expected you to speak of Pat Buchanan since 10 years ago. This is going to blow your mind. There are approximately 3,200,000 households in Los Angeles County. Nearly 1 million households in Los Angeles County are on EBT, so food stamps. We have to solve this problem because the federal government is farming poor people in America. And that's a huge issue, because no matter whether you succeed at voting left or right, or you get your Trump government and you're happy, if that reality keeps being the case, we have a flood of new generations of dependent people that keep getting farmed in our countries. And eventually, they gain political power one way or another, either by constantly voting Democrat or by changing the Republican Party so much that it might as well be the Democrat Party. We have a big political problem in the fact that the lifestyle of these city people who are unsustainable is being propped up and kept intergenerationally by infinite sources of money coming from the federal government. If you don't fix this, nothing that you do politically serves anything. If you don't fix this, you might as well give up politics. You might as well give up politics because you're playing against life. You're playing against consumption of entropic energy by life. And that is something that is, there is no solution for. There's no way you win from it. We have a cop body cam video. A man was holding a young child hostage, but he gets shot in the head.
Hey, sheriff's office, make yourself known. Sheriff's office, make yourself known. Send the child out, please. Stay in the child's. Bring the child out of the room. Drop the knife and bring the child out of the room. Drop the knife, bring the child out of the room. Let me see your f***ing hands right now. Let me see your hands.
You are going to get shot.
Let me see your hands right now. Let me see your hands right now. What's your hands right now? I'll kill you.
He seems to be holding a child hostage. He has a bike helmet on his head.
I'll kill you. Drop the knife. Drop it.
There you go. Shot in the head. All right. Is November 5th Trump's... Is November 5th Trump must go now action set to kick off Civil War 2.0. The question is, can communist subversion be defeated without using authoritarian measures? Okay, so they're talking about, well, there will be a protest, leftist protest action in Washington on November 5th. So that's in 2 days from now. No, I don't believe that this is the opening to a civil conflict. They like to call out civil conflict all the time, but it's like no, it's not happening. It's like extraterrestrials. It's never extraterrestrials. Roddy Lassid says perhaps he thought the helmet would be like armor. I don't know. Perhaps it was more to confuse the policeman. I don't think these helmets can block bullets in any meaningful way, but perhaps they can, I guess, they can help you fight rubber bullets, maybe if non-lethal force is used. Florida father-to-be wakes up from coma to blame angry girlfriend for causing car crash before dying. The guy is in coma for a car accident. He wakes up and he's like, it was my girlfriend. She's fucking insane. And then he dies. Not surprising. These women, these kind of borderline personality women, they lack self-control. And when they go batshit insane, they literally don't care. They will take the wheel drive and swerve it for you. Today's episode of Dave Smith speaking with Tucker Carlson.
The unpatriotic conservatives that David Rumm, the speechwriter, the guy who coined the term axis of evil, helped launch us on this whole path that we've been on since then, that's wrecked the 21st century. Who were the conservatives who were unpatriotic? It was all the best ones, the best right-wingers in America. It was Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell and Justin Raimondo and Sam Francis and all. It was all the best guys. None of them were Nazis. None of them were bigots. They just all had one thing in common. They opposed the war party. That was the whole crime that any of
you
them
know
committed.
What they were? Actually, they were the most patriotic conservatives. And that is the practice of, and I do think there's a spiritual component to this, but of the slanderers now dominating our conversation.
And this is this connects to what friend of Gandalf was saying in super chats earlier. you end up on that road because you have a strong inner moral sense. And those people who converge toward this conclusion, it's because they were not purchasable, they were not intimidated, they were not subject to intimidation. And that's how you reach these truths.
To invert the truth, not to pull it three shades or 15, you know, degrees off. It's to flip it exactly around. No, you're an agent of a foreign country, a foreign power. And it's like, or as Bill Kristol once said to me, or said about me, I just, you know, Tucker Carlson is advocating for an ethno state. I'm like, no, what? No, I think that's what you're doing. But of course, but I always fall for it. It's like, no, I don't have any investors. I have no debt. I have never taken a grant. I've never taken a dollar from any foreign government. I literally am not controlled by anybody, which is of course why they hate me. But you're literally advocating on behalf, you're lobbying for, you're in some cases in the employ of taking talking points from a foreign government, and you're accusing me of being an agent of some Russia or Qatar, or both great countries, by the way.
You know, it sounds interesting. I might watch it, but I'd like people to confront the thing as it is. Going out there and saying, oh, I'm not anti-Semitic. It's like, it's not enough. It's not enough. And I know it's the easy point. It's easy to do for Tucker. But I'm not racist. I've made the case why we shouldn't say these things. It's because you are kneeling to a vision of the world. You are kneeling to, well, if you keep denying it that way, you're conceding the importance of it. Whenever people say, let's say you get accused of racism and your answer is, no, I have a black friend. You are falling in the trap of and yes, Bob Smith, I had your great super chat. I'll be getting to it. You are falling in the trap of acknowledging that racism is a crime when it's not. It's a personal view. It's a personal set of ethnic preferences. Everyone has them. And the only people who are expected to act as if it doesn't exist is white people. And whenever you say, I have a black friend, therefore I'm not racist, you are giving full credence to this view of the world that racism is the ultimate evil, and that you should deny any sort of accusation of it. You shouldn't do that. And you shouldn't go out there and say, oh no, I'm not an anti-Semite. Here's why. I have Jewish friends. And no, because you've not understood that it's the worldview they're trying to push. They don't care about if you deny it or accept it. It's a worldview they're trying to push. They're trying to create the ultimate taboo. And they've been successful at it socially. Sour Note says, you're arguing within the anti-white narrative. You should reframe it so that they're being accused of anti-whiteism. And they're the villain. Exactly. It's not enough to say, I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm not racist. You should say, the way you approach this is very anti-white. And the way you approach this seems to suggest to me, given my experience, my lived experience as a white person, that you consider that I should be enslaved to your view of what Israel wants and should and is entitled to. Bob Smith has sent a super chat, $50. Thank you so much on Entropy. Thank you so much for the generosity tonight. You guys have been sending massive super chats. I really appreciate. Because I do have to go buy a new background because this is not going to work. I'm seeing my squares have started to fall already. So the glue didn't work. The duct tape didn't work. I'm going to go buy a wooden panel soon and I'm going to have to screw them. I'm going to have to screw each square. That's going to have to be the process simply because this... I thought it was a great idea to have a hanging blue background, but the hanging of a plastic has its own constraints. And it just turns out that this plastic is not very receptive to glue. So I'm going to go just full wooden background, fully solid. I thought it was kind of a reaction to me to buy a suspendable one because I thought it would be easy to move if I ever get out of here. But in the end, it's a reaction to my past life where I always have to move and I always have to flee. But in the end, I think I'm going to be living in Alberta forever. So it doesn't matter if I have a solid wall board. I think it's the place where I die. So Bob Smith was saying, I have been watching since the public space days. Thanks for all you've done, especially the revolutionary phenotype and blood sports. The world is not prepared for Nick the Knife. Oh yeah, man, we left an imprint in culture forever. And we had an impact that I'm super proud of. And it's really just beginning because we haven't even reached the sweet, sweet point where this theory is going to have to be accepted by all. It's going to have to be accepted by all of biology, and there's not going to be an argument that phenotypic revolutions aren't real. And we're starting to get acknowledged in Grokipedia. That's good. And the future is looking bright. I'm looking very brightly toward the next 20 years and before I die. I'm proud of what we've accomplished here. And I was carried by you guys. I was carried by you guys through your super chats. You made it possible because it's very hard to do what we do in a long-term scenario. Like to maintain streaming capabilities over more than 10 years, very few people will do that. People come, they drain the energy of the internet, but very often they come to the point where they have nothing left to say. They slowly go away, they change their views, or they just they kind of drain out the energy of the super chats, and it makes it unviable for them, and eventually they change their view and they get out of the internet. But I really love what I do, and I would love if I can continue streaming up to my death, just to make a statement. Just at this point, it's like just to make a statement, just to be fully transparent. My whole IDs laid out on the internet every night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That is how I see the life. I want to be one of the most oral, transparent, intellectual that human civilization has ever known. Very generous super chat. Thank you so much, Bob Smith. And another one coming, Dino Raja, $20. Thank you so much. He says, JF, you may have missed my post under your response to Scott Adams. Hopefully it's not offensive or too stupid. Okay, well, I'm not going to play something that could be potentially offensive on YouTube, but I'll check it out after the show. Indeed, I haven't seen that response under my tweet. So I'll listen to the little video that you sent. But I'm not going to play it because I don't know the contents of it, and we are on YouTube. What do we have here? We have civilians with white flags executed by Ukrainian drones. So just know, when we fund war, this is what we fund. We fund a bunch of stupid fucking Ukrainians just very, very clearly killing people who had surrendered. So there you go. White flag, two people walking. They are clearly unarmed. You send money to a foreign country that has low moral standards, low ethical standards. Inevitably, that's what you're funding. That's what you're funding when you send money to Israel. That's what you're funding when you send money to Ukraine. George says, your side intellectual stuff is the daddy of the public square. Okay. Hosted, I'm not sure I understand the structure of your sentence, and it's public space. It's public space, okay? Hosted Deference says, thanks, JF. Watch every show. I really appreciate the sane atheism. Can't believe even Sam Hyde is spouting Christian beliefs. Oh, yeah, that's one thing on which, you know, I don't think I'm gonna soften on this. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. I don't think I will believe there's a God until I die. I like Christians. I go to church sometimes to visit Christians, to see the people of my neighborhood. And I only want to live in Christian countries. I recognize the moral superiority of the Christian faith for society, for the handling of societal and human behavioral ethics. But I don't think there's a God. I'm just not convinced that we have a God that has cared about the shaping and the making of planet Earth and the making of the humans. That is something I don't think I will change on this. Very often people become old and they become weaker cognitively and they kind of let themselves slip. I don't think I will. I think I'm too radical. I'm too stubborn. Too stubborn, and I don't see any reason why I'm wrong on this. I haven't heard a reason why I'm wrong other than very convinced Christians who are just telling me, no, you're wrong. Jesus is king. Jesus is God. God exists. I hope you find it in your heart. And it's like, no, I'm going to need an external argument. I'm going to need some reason why I have to believe to God. I'm not going to find it inside of my heart because I don't even value introspection and reflection as valid tools of accessing the truth. If I was to find it in my heart, wouldn't it be proved that there's no God? I mean, if you had to look inside of you to find it, wouldn't it be proved? Isn't that basically the definition of an hallucination? I looked inside my mind and I found God. Well, okay. What you found is an hallucination. Trump admin will partially fund November food stamps according to a filing. Oh, don't do it, Trump. There needs to be a punishment for being dependent on the government, at least when we have a shutdown. Make it hard. Reduce the checks. Just stop sending them. Don't do it, Trump. Matt Walsh says, now conservatives are calling me racist for agreeing with Pat Buchanan. Total madness. We should also be careful about this kind of novel, weak, tame cancel culture emerging, because it's leading to the stolen valor problem that I've been discussing. Like, okay, now Matt Walsh can say he's been called racist by conservatives. Like, does Matt Walsh really qualify as an oppressed intellectual? Does Kevin Roberts qualify as persecuted for their beliefs? Or are they more part of the system and trying to get some street creds of, hey, we're playing it tough, and hey, they tried to cancel me? I don't know. We have to be careful playing at the border between these two concerns. I stand with the great Tucker Carlson against totalitarian censorship mafias, says Alex Jones here, dining in a kind of sugar shack dinner, I guess, with Tucker Carlson. What do we have? Eggs, ham, bacon, potatoes. This looks like a breakfast. A power breakfast. All right. Look, the Toronto police. They were trying to arrest someone and the car is in neutral and it collides with the people, and then a policeman will try to fix the situation. So I don't know, there might have been a taser here. So they neutralized this guy, but this police here has forgotten that this truck is on neutral and it keeps advancing toward the guy. So they're pushing back the car. Now he or she gets in the car, presses the accelerator. And now the guy that they were arresting has been totally wrecked by police car. look at the scene without me pausing. Oh, God. And Vivek Ramaswamy as a last news item for tonight, and identity politics. Bro, you're 10 years late on this. Not only will we not end identity politics, as Andrew Torba says, we're not falling for this crap anymore. All politics is identity politics. We aren't amorphous blobs. Of course. Politics is about grouping your power with other people. In a democracy, it's explicitly this. In other systems, it's less indirect, but it always boils down to a bunch of people capable of pursuing a program. And a bunch of people will have things in common. And people who have things in common will tend to benefit from the same kind of programs, whereas other groups with other characteristics will want other things. So it's inevitable, and it's already won. Identity politics has been cemented into the public space forever. It was a hard fight, but we made it happen, and now it's not stopping. It's going to keep going. So you can just yap and identity politics. But it's the current state is inescapable. We've changed it forever. That is it for tonight. Barub says, ban identity politics because I'm adversely affected by it. Exactly. Which is what? Identity politics.